podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Glad to have the opportunity this morning to take a look into the Word. So I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35 in your Bible. Before we read this passage of Scripture, just imagine for a minute growing up in this guy's home. Listen to the rules of Jonadab. He's a biblical father. We're going to read about him in a moment. Listen to the rules in Jonadab's home. Number one, never drink wine. Never. It's one of his rules. In fact, not just you, but all of your descendants, never drink wine was his demand as a father, not even a sip. Recognize that they were living in Israel, where the vineyard industry was huge, where everybody had their own vineyard. And recognize the importance of wine in that culture at that time. And recognize that even Jesus, when he came this world, he turned water into wine at a wedding to honor that need in that community, in that culture. So where wine was flowing freely and was an expression of the wealth and the diversity of that nation of Israel, here was this father, Jonadab, who said, never drink wine at all. Second rule he had was never build or live in a house. No houses for his children and his descendants. No houses at all. Jonadab instructed his children and their children to live in tents and to never build homes for themselves. The third instruction of Jonadab was do not plant seeds your own fields. Don't even own a field to plant seeds in, was his word to them. I mean, it was every boy's dream in Israel to own a plot of land, to get their hands dirty, to build a home for their family on that plot of land, to be rich in flocks, in crops, in vineyards, to sit with his family in their home and to drink their own wine from their own vineyard. Jonadab said, no, none of that. Not for my children. No wine, no real estate, no fields, no planting. We're going to be different. He's like an American dad saying, no hot dogs, no apple pie. You cannot join the baseball team. And no Coca-Cola, ever. That is the Jonadab of America. Well, imagine growing up in his home, what that must have been like. How you would stick out like a sore thumb in your culture. How you would be different from everyone else. The curious thing about Jonadab's instructions to his family is, first of all, that they listened to him. They obeyed him. His children and all their descendants, they obeyed Jonadab. They lived exactly as he told them to live. You might say that they were chips off the old block. That's the expression we use when children are like their dads. They're chips off the old block. And that expression comes from back in the 1600s, when they used to work with blocks of wood or perhaps with blocks of stone, and the pieces that would fall off were chips that were the same as the block. And that's what our children are to be like, chips off the old block. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes, admittedly, that's a bad thing when kids are chips off the old block, depending on who the old block is. Some of you understand what I'm saying. But even more curious about Jonadab was this. As a result of his giving these rules to his children and then the descendants obeying those rules, their lives were spared. And later in life, they were held up by God as an example of obedience to the whole nation of Judah. So let's read about this in Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jazaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, sons of Igdalia, the man of God. It was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Messiah, son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine, because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command, neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons, nor our daughters have ever drunk wine, or built houses to live in, or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean armies. So we have remained in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? Declares the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land that I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefather gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me. Now we know that God is not a God of random, meaningless rules. That's not the type of God that we serve. In fact, Jesus often confronted the Pharisees about their meaningless, foolish, random, ridiculous rules. Now, the Old Testament has many rules, but each one of these rules had its purpose in order to protect the people of Israel, in order to set them apart as a peculiar people, so that others would know that this was the nation that God had chosen to follow him. Recognize that fact, that God is not a God of random, meaningless rules. So why would he applaud the rules of Jonadab? Why would he reward his descendants because of their obedience to these strange rules that had been set up that they continued to obey? Well, let's look back into the deep history of Israel. We need to go back a ways to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. Turn in your Bibles back there. And we need to get a little bit of history, a little background on who this Jonadab character is and why he would come up with such strange rules for his children and his descendants. Israel, during the time of the kings, here in this passage of Scripture, were under the influence still of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab, the king of Israel, and Jezebel, his wife, were some of the most evil leaders that Israel ever had. Ahab turned the hearts of the people of Israel away from Jehovah, the true God, toward Baal and idols. And the people of Israel followed Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel toward idol worship. And as a result of that, the prophets during those days and the men of God like Elijah and Elisha spoke out against Ahab and Jezebel and their family that came after them. You know, even after Elijah himself demonstrated that Baal was worthless and powerless in comparison to the true God, they continued in their idolatry. And the people of Israel followed them down this path. They turned against the true God and were turning toward all of the gods of their culture, the meaningless, worthless, powerless gods of their culture. Sounds similar to things that we experience in our culture, as so many people turn away from the true God, the God of the Bible, and they turn toward all of the things that are popular in our culture. The sinful ways, the idolatry. We may not worship Baal in our culture, but there certainly are plenty of Baals out there to be worshipped. So we come to 1 Kings chapter 9. It'd be better if we went to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. We start with verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 9. The prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of oil with you, go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him, get him away from his companions, take him into an inner room, then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, 'This is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel.' Then open the door and run. Don't delay." This is important news, okay? Elisha, the prophet, is sending an ambassador from himself to go and to anoint a new king, a man by the name of Jehu. The problem is, there already is a king in Israel. It happens to be the grandson of Ahab. So this is a very risky thing for him to do, to go and to anoint a new king when there already is a king in Israel, a very evil king. But it's done anyway. And we read as we continue with verse 4, "So the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he arrived, he found the army officers sitting together. 'I have a message for you, commander,' he said. 'For which of us?' asked Jehu. 'For you, commander,' he replied. Jehu got up and went into the house. Then the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and declared, 'This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. You are to destroy the house of Ahab, your master, and I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Jezebel, the whole house of Ahab, every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam.'" Let's just say that the prophecy here that is given to this new anointed king, anointed by God, is this: anybody that has had anything to do with the godless administration of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel is to be wiped out, taken off of the face of this earth. Because they have disobeyed God, it is their time to stand judgment. And Jehu, you, the new king, are the one that I have chosen, God said, to do this thing. And so, as we go through 2 Kings chapter 9 into 2 Kings chapter 10, basically the story that we read about is this, that Jehu goes door to door on this campaign to find all of the family of Ahab and Jezebel, and even Jezebel herself, and to put them all to death so that they would no longer serve as leadership, evil leadership in the nation of Israel. Well, along this time, along this road, we finally get to Jonadab in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, starting with verse 15. "After he left there, he came," this is Jehu, "he came upon Jehonadab," that's the same as Jonadab, "the son of Rechab, who was on his way to meet him. Jehu greeted him and said, "Are you in accord with me as I am with you?" Said, "Are we on the same page? This whole thing that we're doing with Ahab and Jezebel's family and wiping them out, are you on my team?" he says to Jonadab. "I am," Jehonadab answered. "Well, if so," said Jehu, "give me your hand." So he did, and Jehu helped him up into the chariot. And Jehu said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." Then he had him ride along in his chariot. When Jehu came to Samaria, he killed all who were left there of Ahab's family. He destroyed them, according to the word of the Lord spoken to Elijah. Then Jehu brought all the people together and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much." Here's the way the rest of the story goes. Jehu said, "Listen, if you think Ahab loved Baal, you wait and see how much I love Baal." Of course, it was all a ploy. What he did was to get all of the Baal worshipers into this temple, one place at one time, so he could destroy them all for one last time. And there in the midst of all of that was this man, Jonadab. Here's what we know about Jonadab. First of all, he was faithful to the true God in a time when the world was against him. The whole world was against Jehovah. And here Jonadab stood up faithfully in support of the true God. You know, we look at that and say, "Well, yeah, I'd do the same thing." But would you? Would you? In an office full of people who are turned off by God, who are prejudiced against him, who say, "Oh, that's so old-fashioned. I can't believe you still believe that old stuff that's in the Bible." In an atmosphere like that, will you continue to stand up for God? For Jonadab, it was even more important because it was at the risk of his very life. Secondly, you know, Jonadab was willing to serve God completely and to risk everything. By taking Jehu's hand and stepping up into that chariot and saying, "I am on your team, I am on your side," what Jonadab was saying was this: "I turn my back on this entire world and I turn toward God. I risk everything in order to follow God." And then third, Jonadab was strong enough to turn completely against his culture, his king, his country, his world at that moment in history in order to do the right thing. This was a man of character, a man of strength. So where did these rules come from? Is the next question. Why the rules from Jonadab? Well, we would have to look back even further in history, which we're not going to do, to recognize that Jonadab was a Rechabite. He was a son of Rechab. And Rechab, if we went all the way back, we'd go all the way back to the days of Moses. You remember Moses had a father-in-law named Jethro. Jethro was a Rechabite. And so Jonadab follows along this same ancestry as Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Recognize this, that Jethro and his people went along with the Israelites wherever they went. Now, they were not themselves Israelites, but they followed the Israelites, and they worshiped the same God, and they believed in the same truth. So the Rechabites were not Israelites, but they lived with the Israelites and followed them and trusted in the same God. Well, Jonadab, as a Rechabite, recognized two very important things. Number one, he recognized where he came from. He was not an Israelite. However, he was in Israel's promised land. And he was in Israel's inheritance and living there, not as an Israelite, but as a Rechabite. He recognized where he had come from. But he also recognized where things were headed. Because during this time, through Elijah and Elisha and all of the prophets, God was saying, "Israel is soon to be destroyed by Babylon. It's going to happen any moment. Israel will be destroyed." And Jonadab was just crazy enough to believe the word of God that came through the prophets. And so recognizing these two things, number one, where he came from, he's not an Israelite, he's a Rechabite, he's living in the land of Israel, but he's not of the people of Israel. And number two, realizing where things were headed, soon the Babylonians were going to come in and they're going to wipe out Israel. He said to his children, "Listen, I want to protect you. And so the way I'm going to protect you is this. We are not going to become glued to this land. We are not going to become saturated with the things of this world. So number one, I don't want you to drink wine, because if you drink wine, you're going to be growing vineyards. You're going to be pressing the grapes. You're going to be involved in the things of this world. I don't want you to be involved in that, he said. Because then when the Babylonians come, you'll have no time to flee. He said, I don't want you to live in houses, because see, you're prone in your houses to live in your home. And then when the Babylonians come in, you're going to defend your house. I want you to live in a tent. So when the Babylonians come, you just take up your tent and go. You don't have anything to leave behind. I don't want you planting fields, he said, because if you plant fields, you're going to have something here in this world that's going to be meaningful to you, that you're going to tend and care for. And when the Babylonians come, you're going to say, no, you're not going to take my fields. And you'll stand up and defend your fields. He said, I don't want you to have that connection to this world. I want you to be willing to get up and go at my beck and call. So no wine, no fields, no homes here in this world. Be ready to go. He recognized where he had come from. He recognized where things were headed. And he said, I'm going to make these rules for my children in order to prepare them for the future and to protect them from what's yet to come. Bible scholars recognize that by the time we get to Jeremiah 35, what probably happened is this. We have Jonadab's descendants living somewhere in Jerusalem. Now understand this, during that time, Israel was broken into two nations. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. And somehow the people of Jonadab's family, the Rechabites, came from Israel, and when the Babylonians attacked Israel and took them off, somehow the Rechabites, Jonadab's descendants, were able to migrate from Israel to Judah and then to live in Jerusalem. Now, how were they able to do that when everybody else was destroyed and taken captive? It's because they had no connection to the land of Israel, and they went where God was. And so they went to Jerusalem at that time. When Assyria attacked and conquered Judah, they were there then. But when Babylon attacked Israel, the Rechabites, Jonadab's family, they had no home, they had no land, they had no vineyards. All they had were tents. They were alert and they were vigilant. They were not drunk and they were ready to go wherever God would call them. And therefore they survived. That's the story here. They escaped. They crossed over into Judah. And the descendants of Jonadab obeyed, you know, against all reason. And they were spared as a result of their obedience. So God says to his people, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 35, he says to the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, he says, listen. Here are some people who have obeyed and they were spared. And he says to the people of Jerusalem and Judah at that time, you are not obeying me, so there will be trouble. It's interesting the way it happens, though. He says to Jeremiah, look, let's set up a little trick. Let's call the Rechabites in through the side door of the temple. We'll sit them down, and we'll provide these huge bowls of wine for them and say, have some. You know, the whole temple at that point probably was filled with the essence, the smell, the fragrance of that wine. They sat these people down, these Rechabites, and said, here's some wine. Go ahead and enjoy yourselves. Drink. And each and every one of those people said, no, we don't do that because our father told us it's wrong. We can't. And so the words of the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Jerusalem was this: learn from those who have obeyed their father and have been spared. You refuse to obey your heavenly father, and you will not be spared. So dads, what can we learn from this morning? There are some things that I learned from looking at Jonadab. One is that fathers are called to provide for their families. We recognize that that's the truth. Jonadab was a provider for his family. And most of us are pretty good at that. That's something that we understand. We go off to work every morning and we come home late at night. And what are we doing? We're providing for our families. We're making sure that they're able to live, that they're fed, that they have clothing, they have a roof over their head. That's the job of the father, is to go out and to provide for the family. We recognize that pretty well in our culture. But the second thing is that a father is called on to protect his children as well. I think that means a whole lot more than just Smith & Wesson or ADT security systems. There's another angle to this protecting our children besides, you know, standing outside our homes with our rifles and waiting for the teenage boy to drive up with his car. There's more to it than just that. There's more to it than all of the rules that we have for dating our teenage daughters. Protect. Protect your children. Protect them from the culture. Protect them from the evil thoughts that exist out there in the world. Protect them. It may require some strange rules. Rules that no other children have in this culture. But your children might have those rules because it's your desire to protect them as Jonadab protected his children. And it worked for him. I believe it might work for you. To protect our children. You know, the other day I was going to the movie theater, and there was a couple of underage, you know, just slightly underage children that wanted to get into an R-rated movie, and the lady there actually asked them for their identification. They couldn't produce an identification. They were turned away. I stood there, and I thought to myself, now, you know, our culture here is doing pretty good if we're able to turn away children from this R-rated movie. However, I started to wonder to myself, Where are the parents? Where are the parents? Have we set up standards? Have we set up guidelines for our children to protect them from this culture that is off track? Not just to provide and to protect, but thirdly, to prepare our children. They need to be grounded. By that, I mean grounded in the Word of God, grounded in the way of the Lord. Grounded. They need a firm foundation upon which to plant their feet. They need to know who God is and what God has said. They will be sent off into a world full of evil, full of terrible influences. Prepare them for that now. Now. I can say, looking back on my childhood, that there were some things I didn't like about my dad's rules. You know, I really didn't understand some of them. And I questioned some of them, and I complained about some of them, but the rules were there, and they were rules. I even tried to break some of those rules. It never turned out very well for me. But those rules, they were there for a reason. I can now, looking back at my age, at those rules that my dad gave me, I understand every single one of them, and I understand the love and the purpose that was behind them in his heart of hearts. And I recognize that in many ways, I am the person I am today because I had a dad who enforced those rules. Rules. I know some of you feel the exact same way. Whether your father is here or whether your father is now with the Lord, perhaps he set down some rules for you that you said, this is old-fashioned, it doesn't make any sense, I don't like it. But because of those rules, maybe you are alive today. Maybe you are in church today. Maybe you have a relationship with God today because of the rules of our dads. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, we read these words, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And I pray that that is our joy as parents today. As anyone who has influence over children in any way, I pray that that's our desire, to see our children walking in the truth. That was Jonadab's joy. Because, you know, the promise that was given to him at the end of that passage of Scripture, Jeremiah 35, was this. God said, you will always have someone serving me. Always. Now, I don't know where Jonadab's family is serving God today, but somewhere, Jonadab has a descendant that is serving God today, because that was the promise. Wouldn't that be a joy that can become your joy, to know that your children are walking in the truth, to provide for them, to protect them, to prepare them, and sometimes to lay down some rules that don't make sense. not for the sake of not making sense, not for the sake of proving a point, not on a power trip, but like Jonadab's rules. Rules that are grounded in where we have come from and rules that are grounded in what's soon to happen. Rules that provide, protect, and prepare, and they will follow. Be a block worthy of all the little chips that will follow you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jonadab that you have put into your word for us to follow. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the strength as parents, even in this day and age, to lay down rules, Father, that are helpful to our children, that will provide for them, protect them, and prepare them. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us alone in this endeavor, but you've given us your Holy Spirit living within us. You've given us your word by which to abide. May we be people of the word as Jonadab was a man of your word. Father, again, thank you today for being with us and for challenging us. And help us, Lord, to grow, to be better fathers, to be better followers of you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.